Everybody, Parsha Shoftim is a parsha that is a very, very important parsha, like all the parshas HaShavua, but Parsha Shoftim is chock full of information, packed with mitzvahs, halachas, yesodos, gedolos. And what I really like to do this morning is to try to flesh out something which I think is critical in terms of understanding and appreciating relationship between the Rabbanim and the nation, the relationship between those who issue Piske Halacha, we call it a Rav and a Shoel, and really I think the paradigm for that relationship exists in the relationship between the Shofet, the Shoter, the Shoftim, and the Shotrim, and Bnei Yisrael. I'd like to take a more careful look at the job, the role, the resume of the Shoftim and the Shotrim, the officers and the judges, and see exactly what they are commanded to do. And ultimately, in turn, that will allow us to understand where we, as Klal Yisrael, Bnei Yisrael, fit into the opinions, the positions, the Piske Halacha issued by the Shoftim Vishotrim. But let's start, of course, in the opening pasuk in the parsha. Shoftim Vishotrim Titin Lecha Bechol Sharecha. There's an obligation, a mitzvah saseh, a mitzvah d'iraisa so much so, it's counted by all the monia mitzvahs, as a mitzvah d'iraisa, a positive commandment to set up, to establish, to appoint officers and judges in each and every city. And that the Rambam elaborates upon in Yad HaChazak and explains that every area, every constituency, every city is required to have shoftim and shochim, officers and judges, b'chol she'arecha, asher Hashem elkecha nosim lecha l'shvatecha, v'shoftu es ha'am mishpat tzedek. So seemingly, and this is the way we pass, and this is the way it sounds in the pasuk, that the mitzvah of minui shoftim, to appoint judges, is a mitzvah dafka in Eretz Yisrael. There's no mitzvah of minui shoftim in Chutz Laaretz. Of course, there are bati din. There are ways that we paskin halacha, whether it is financial matters, whether it's in the area of Orchaim and Yeridea, and we'll get to that in a moment. But certainly in terms of the halacha and the mitzvah saseh d'iraisa of minui shoftim, to appoint judges, that is a mitzvah that's unique to Eretz Yisrael b'chol sharecha, but not bizman hazeh, and not bizman hagalos. The mitzvah d'iraisa is only bizman that there was smicha, when there was a musmach, when there was a Moshe, kibol tor misinai, misar liyoshua, Yeshua's kenim, zkenim lenevim, nevim asul anche knesses agdola. There is an establishment, there's a mesorah of the smicha, and once that stopped, and that is actually a debate, actually, when did the smicha stop exactly? But nonetheless, we don't have smicha today. We don't have what is referred to in the Gemara as smicha, although we have some level of smicha today. Rabbi needs some level of smicha to paskin shaylos. But nonetheless, bizman hazeh, there is no mitzvah of minui shoftim. But what's the reason for establishing officers and judges? Why do we have shoftim in Klal? So what does the Torah tell us that that's a necessity when we're in Eretz Yisrael? So if you take a look in the Sefer HaChinuch, Mitzvah Tuf Tzadi Aleph, the first mitzvah in Parsha Shoftim, he explains the Shoresh HaMitzvah. The reason for the mitzvah, She'im Hadavar Hazeh Namo Datenu Bios Emas Alufenu V'Shoftenu Pnei HaHamon. It will create a certain level of fear. It will cause a certain level of authority, that there's going to be law and order, there's going to be justice, and there's going to be a way to establish a court system. There's going to be a very, very real way to issue and to paskin and to adjudicate all forms of halacha. Umetoch hergela, betov uviyosher. And as a result, Klal Yisrael will become very comfortable with this justice that is taking place, right and wrong, mutter and aser, what's halachically appropriate, what should be done, what can be done, and what cannot be done. Therefore, says the Sefer HaChinuch, Yilmuduam tivam, lasos mishpat v'tzedek me'ahava b'hakarasam derech emes. If you establish rule and order, if you establish a court system, even though there's a certain element of fear that exists, nonetheless, the people begin to understand and to appreciate that law and order is necessary. And slowly but surely, they'll become used to and comfortable following the law and order that exists. So therefore, the shoftim are here to establish law and order, to adjudicate, to paskin, to attempt to create authority. However, ultimately, what is supposed to exist is that there is supposed to be absolute acceptance of the Am, absolute acceptance of Bnei Yisrael for the Shoftim. Now, it's a fascinating thing. The mitzvah of Minui Shoftim comes from Klal Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael have the command to establish and to appoint judges. Even though the judges are going to be the ones who are going to paskin and to adjudicate law against Klal Yisrael. So you see that there is a certain synergy, a certain level of understanding between Klal Yisrael and the Shoftim. Even though the Shoftim were there, the officers and judges were there to say right or wrong, or you go to jail, or you are the recipient of a death penalty, nonetheless, the minui, the appointment, is coming from the Jewish people themselves. So here you see that once we enter Eretz Yisrael, there needs to be a body, a system of judgment, a system of law and order. When is there a death penalty? How do you deal with capital punishment? How do you deal with certain forms of crime? How do you deal with the gamut of situations that are going to rise in Eretz Yisrael when Klal Yisrael are in the position that they are in to be a authority and to rule over the land of Israel? Nonetheless, Shoftim are still necessary. Now, as I mentioned, there is no mitzvah of Minui Shoftim Bizman Hazeh. The halacha doesn't exist. We don't have Shoftim. Now, of course, we have Dayanim and we have Rabbanim. However, there is no halachic mitzvah to establish Shoftim. Every city should have a Beis Din, and every city has rabbis. However, at the end of the day, there is no Shofet, and there is no Shoter. Nonetheless, I'd like to share with you and show you how the concept of Shoftim and Shotrim still exists today on some level. In Shulchan Aruch Orachaim Simen Nun Gimel, the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber of Yosef Karo, quotes a tshuva of the Rush in Klal Vav, a very, very interesting scenario. In a particular city, or in a variety of cities, prior and earlier in the medieval times, there wasn't enough money to pay both for a rabbi as well as a shliach tzibur, a chazan. Now, we know today, almost everybody knows how to daven. And many, many people even know how to daven for the Amma to be a shliach tzibur, to be motzi, the rabbi midei chavasan. However, many years ago, thousands of years ago, 1,000 years ago, and even 700, 800, 900 years ago, it wasn't so easy both to hire for pay a rabbi who could paskin shilas, as well as a chazin who could be motzi the rabbi. Nobody knew how to daven, so you needed both. The question was posed to the Rush, what do we do in a city where there's only enough money for one? You could only hire a chazin, and this even includes the Yomim Noraim Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, or you could only hire a rabbi. Who should be hired? That was the question, halacha lemaisa, that was posed to the Rush. And the tshuva of the Rush, the answer of the Rush, is paskin lahalach and shulchan aruch harachaim, simenin gimel, sif chavdalet, as follows. Tzibur, if there's a community, shetzrichim liskor rav ushliach tzibur, they don't have enough money. They don't have enough financial ability to both hire a Rav or a Shliach Tzibur. What's hired and who is hired first? So the Rosh Paskins, Imhu Rav Muvak, Vigadul Betora, Uvaki Behora Hu Kodem. If the rabbi is somebody who's an expert, he's an authority figure, he's somebody who is a Torah scholar, a Talmud Chacham, who knows how to paskin, Baki Behora Hu Kodem. Vimlav Shliach Tzibur Kodem, and if not, the Shliach Tzibur comes first. So here you see already that the concept of the importance of a Shofet and a Shoter continues even in Bizman HaRishonim, even in the times of Rishonim. You have a city, a large city, a small city, whatever it is, and there's not enough money both to have a Rav and a Shliach Tzibur. The Rav comes first, and you hire him first. Why? And listen to the language of the Mishnah Berurah. They're not going to be able to daven. Nobody knew how to daven. So you needed a shliach tzibur. That's the whole reason why we have chazar sashatz. The whole reason why we have multiple areas of tefillah is because the shliach tzibur would be motzi, the rabbi would fulfill the obligation of the community. So even though you don't have a shliach tzibur and the people are not going to be able to daven, shlo yihaleh mi sheyotzei midei chavasan, there's nobody to fulfill their obligation. It's more important to have somebody to establish law and order, to establish piske halacha, to know exactly what to do and how to do it. And therefore, even though there's not going to be regular tfilos, not shachris mincha marv, there's not going to be tfilos of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, there's not going to be tfilos of Yomim Tovim, nonetheless, what's critically important that every city has is a rabbi in order to establish piske halacha, to establish law and order, and to allow the Jewish community to thrive. The Mishnah Berurah continues and quotes the Tshuva the Chasam Sofer, or Chaim Siman Reish Vav, the kol anshei ha'ir mechuyavim litin lazeh, everybody's required to pay toward the establishment and the hiring of the rabbi. Ve'nechad yachol omer, ein ani tzarech l'rav amor tzadik, I don't need the rabbi, it's not important. I'm not saying this so I should be, but nonetheless, I'm just sharing with you the Pesach Halacha. Says the Chasam Sofer, ein ani tzarech l'rav amor tzadik. There are a variety of necessities that the city has, from the Erev to the Mikvah, to establishing a variety of different dinim, and bezdin, and gittin, and kiddushin, and the variety and the gamut of responsibilities that exist. The Be'er Halacha quotes, and he continues, picking up on the tshuva of the Rush, and he says, from here you see what's critically important is to have a rabbi, and he continues talking about this, and he says, not like certain cities that don't have rabbis. And this was a problem for many hundreds and hundreds of years, where there was no rabbinic authority in particular cities. And he says, V'lo ye ki'ivrim ha-mugushashim ba'afela. Even if there's not going to be tefillah, even if there's not going to be established shachris minchan mar, and he continues and he goes on, we should be frightened by certain cities. This is the Chavetz Chaim talking in the 1900s, early 1900s, 1910, 1920. Chavetz Chaim died in 1933. So Chavetz Chaim is saying, you should be frightened. I know many cities in our area, in Eastern Europe, in Lithuania, she'en lam rav amar tzedek b'irim, they don't have a rabbi. V'avon galdol hu k'moshe b'yana, this is a very bad thing. How are they going to follow the halachas of Shabbos and Yom Tov, and hilchos Pesach, adinei tvila, mikvah, v'al kol perte hilchos nida, ushar dinei torah seinu akdosh, asher yasa, osam adav v'chabem. There's not going to be proper shchita and bedika, how are they going to eat meat properly? And he goes on, and tells exactly the importance of establishing a rabbinic authority, a rav, in a city. However, this all emanates really from this mitzvah aseh d'oraisa in the beginning of Parsha Shoftim. Shoftim v'shochim titin l'cha b'chol sharecha she'ashem l'kecha nosein l'cha l'shvatecha v'shoftu esa'am mishpat tzedek. The importance of having the shoftim and shoshim to establish law, to create rules, and to establish bezdin, and to know how to paskin both for the individual and for the community, is something that's critically important to Klal Yisrael once they enter Eretz Yisrael. And of course, this mitzvah continues, even though it's not a mitzvah, saseh d'oraisa, bizman hazeh, but it continued to bizman hanavim, and bizman Shebeis HaMikdash HaYakayim, throughout the Jewish history, the concept and the application and the practicality of having Shoftim V'Shochim, Rabbanim and Dayanim, is something that allows a community to thrive, allows a community to succeed. However, I like to continue looking at the next pasuk, because once we know the importance of having a Shofet and a Shoter, what exactly are the responsibilities and what should you look for when hiring a Shofet or a Shoter? So the Torah tells us in Pasuk Yutes, Lo Sate Mishpat, a Shofet, a Shoter, a Dayan, is prohibited from acting inappropriately, from perverting judgment. Lo Sakir Panim, he shouldn't favor one over the other, rich over poor, poor over the rich. Velo Sikach Shochad, Ki HaShochad Ye'over Enei Chachamim, V'Yesalef Divrei Tzadikim. However, even more important is that a judge, an officer, a rav, should not take a bribe. Lo sikach shochad, ki hachshochad ye'aver enei chachamim. Shochad, bribery, is going to blind the chachamim. What's a chacham? A chacham is somebody who's wise, somebody who's scholarly. V'yisalef divrei tzadikim, and make just words crooked. So you see here the absolutely terrible thing to take a bribe. But note, however, how the Torah articulates taking a bribe. Lo sikach shochad, don't take a bribe. Ki ha-shochad ye'aver enei chachamim. Shochad, bribery, will blind a chacham, will blind the eyes of the wise. Now, if this pasuk seems familiar to you, you're correct, because it's also found in Parshas Mishpatim. If you take a look in Parshas Mishpatim, Perek Chav Gimel, Pasuk Zayin, Pasuk Ches, the Torah tells us, V'shochad lo sikach, a judge should not take shochad, bribery, ki ha-shochad ye'aver pikchim. Shochad, bribery, will blind those who are what? Pikchim. A pikach is somebody who is sharp, A pikech is somebody who's smart. And the Vilna Gaon, the Gra, both in his parish, Ala Torah, Aderes Aliyah, and Parshas Mishpatim, as well as in Parsha Shotim, also quoted in the Sefer Kol Aliyah of the Gra, says that the Torah articulates the law, the Isser, to take a bribe in two different ways. In Parshas Mishpatim, says, Lo sikach shochar, ki ha-shochar yaver pikchem. The shochar will blind those who are sharp, pikeach, smart. Here in Parsha Shoftim, the Torah tells us, ha-shochar yaver enei chachamim. Those who are wise. Asks the Vilna Gaon, number one, why does the Torah repeat this lav twice? Once in Parshas Mishpatim and once in Parshas Shoftim. And furthermore, asks the Vilna Gaon, why is it written in two different ways? That Shochad will ye'over enei pikchim, v'shochad ye'over enei chachamim. What's the difference between a chacham and a pikeach? What's the difference between a wise person and a sharp person? So the Vilna Gaon says from here, you see there are two critical categories, two critical elements for a shofet, that every shofet, that every judge must have. Number one, he must be a chacham. He must know the books. He must be familiar with Chamisha Chumshei Torah. He must be familiar with all of Shas, Mishnayos and Gemara, Shulchan Aruch, Tur and Beis Yosef. He has to know all of the halachas found in the four codes of Jewish law from Arachayim to Evan Ezra to Arachayim to Yaradeya. And Choshen Mishpat, he's got to know it all. A Chacham is a Talmud Chacham who knows and understands what is written. But besides for being a Chacham, you also have to be a Pikeach. You also have to be wise to be a Shovet. You have to understand the world. You have to understand business. You have to understand all elements of society. You have to understand white collar work. You have to understand blue collar work. You have to understand people. It's not enough just to know the Halacha. It's not enough just to know what it says in Shulchan Aruch. It's not enough just to know what it says throughout Shas. But you have to know how to apply that. And you have to know how to deal with people. Therefore, the Torah tells us that Shochad ye'over enei chachamim, and it's also ye'over enei pikchim. The moment a judge is to take a bribe, both of those elements, both of those aspects, which are critically important to the success of the judge, are going to be lost. But what's so important is from here you see how to hire and who a shofet and a shoter is, who the dayan is, who the rav is supposed to be. These two elements have to exist. If you don't know the halacha, you can't be a pikeach. If you're only a pikeach and you don't know the halacha, that's also not going to work. Therefore, both of those elements are critical. You have to be a chacham and you have to be a pikeach. I want to tell you a story. And here you could really see what it means to be a chacham and to be a pikeach. One of the great, great poskim, the outstanding Gedolei Hador, the Nodeb Yehuda, was once brought into a shaila that was brought to his attention, a bezdin in his city in Prague. There was a very wealthy businessman who was dealing in wine. His business was wine, and he had a very, very successful wine business. And he was out of town, and he was traveling back to Prague with an enormous amount of wine, barrels and barrels of wine, and a non-Jewish driver was taking him. And as he was leaving the city to head back to his hometown of Prague, he saw a peddler, a not such a wealthy man, a very basic, simple person who was some level of engaged in business, who was also headed to Prague. And the wealthy businessman asked the peddler, "Where are you headed?" And the peddler told him, "I'm headed to Prague." He said, "You know what? Let me give you a lift." The peddler was ecstatic. He was out of town, out of Prague for about 6 months, trying to make a few dollars to support his family. And he told the wealthy businessman it would be extraordinarily important for him. It would be very helpful for him. If he could get a ride, he'd get home quicker. It would be very easy. And Baruch Hashem, he would be very, very happy to be able to return back to Prague and to take the trip with this wealthy businessman. So the wealthy businessman allows this individual, this peddler, to come upon the agala to take the horse and buggy. So it was three people. It was the wealthy businessman whose ride it was. It was the non-Jewish driver and the peddler. And the peddler slowly but surely recognizes that he has an enormous amount of money that he's amassed over the last 6 months. And he takes the money and he hides it between two barrels of wine. And by the middle of the trip, it was a long trip back to Prague, the peddler falls asleep, and this wealthy businessman's Yetzer Hara gets the best of him, and he steals the money of the peddler, which he's been making for the last 6 months. Finally, the Agala, the horse and the wagon, makes it back to Prague. The peddler wakes up, he goes to the barrel of wine where he hid his cash, his silver coins, and lo and behold, it's gone, it's missing, and he starts screaming. He goes, "You stole my money, you stole my money." And the wealthy businessman says, what are you talking about? What money? I don't know what you're referring to. He says, "I don't need your money. You're a peddler. I'm a businessman. I'm traveling back to Prague to sell all of my wine. What's the problem?" The peddler is beside himself. He's been away from his family for 6 months trying to make a few dollars to support his family. And he's so enraged that he says that he's going to take this case to the Noda Behuda, the great Rav of Prague. And the wealthy businessman says to him, I don't know what you're doing, but not only did I give you a ride home, I didn't charge you for the lift, and now you're claiming that I stole your money? I don't need your money. But the peddler was so enraged that he takes the case to the Noda Behuda, and the peddler and the businessman find themselves in the Bezdin of the Noda Behuda. And the Noda Behuda hears both sides of the case. The peddler explains that he got on the horse and buggy, and he hid his money between the barrels of the wine. And the wealthy businessman says, I have no idea what he's talking about. All I did is I offered him a ride, and now he's claiming that I stole his money. And Noda Behuda asks, was there anybody else on the horse and buggy? And the peddler says, yes, the non-Jewish driver. So the Noda Behuda turns to the peddler and tells him the halacha is one of the most basic halachas in Choshen Mishpat, Hamotzi mechaveiro olav haraya. If you want to extract money, if you're a toveya, if you're a claimant and you have a claim against the defendant, you need to come up with good proof that he stole the money. Otherwise, there's no way that I could enforce the wealthy businessman to pay you back. Hamotzi mechaveiro olav haraya. You have to bring a proof, Mr. Peddler, that he stole the money. Do you have any proof? The peddler said, I had no proof. It was only the three of us. All we had is the peddler, the businessman, and the non-Jew. So Noda Behuda says to the peddler, I'm sorry, you have no proof. And the businessman says he didn't take it. You can't prove that he took the money. It must be that the non-Jewish driver took the money. So the wealthy businessman breathes a sigh of relief and says, I'm going to be okay. However, the Noda Behuda very quickly says, if indeed the non-Jewish driver is the one who stole the money, that means he touched the barrels of wine. And if he touched the barrels of wine, that means all of your wine is Yayin Nesech. And therefore, I'm going to go to all the shuls in Prague and announce that your wine is Stam Yenam. And therefore, all of the wine has to be thrown out. The wealthy businessman begins to sweat. And he whispers to the Noda Behuda, can I speak to you privately? And the Noda Behuda takes him to his private office and he speaks to him privately. And the wealthy businessman says, I did it. I'm sorry. Chatasi, avisi, pashati, starts crying. I stole it. And Noda Behuda turns to him, you're a wealthy businessman. You don't need to steal his few prutos that he's made over 6 months. I don't believe you. You're just telling me that you stole the money because you don't want me to announce in Prague that all of your wine is Stam Yenam and has to be thrown out. I don't believe you. There's no way that you, as an upstanding business person, stole the money. There's no way that you did this. It doesn't make any sense. It's not logical. The only reason you're saying that is so that I don't passel and trafe up your wine. So he says, no, I really did it. I really did it. So Noda Behuda turns to him and says, if you really did it, you need to come to the big shul in Prague. You have to get up and announce that you stole the money. And you're going to also have to pay a fine for being Mitzayer, the poor peddler. And if you do that, then I'll believe you. And indeed, the story is documented. This very wealthy businessman got up in the big shul in Prague and announced that he stole money from the poor peddler. Noda Behuda Paskin, of course, that he's required to return the money to the peddler. He had to pay a fine to the peddler, and all of the wine obviously was kosher. That's what it means, a pikeach, and that's what it means to be a chacham. That's what we look for in terms of the mitzvah of Minoy Shoftim. Lo sikach shochar ki ashochar yaver eni chachamim v'salek divrei tzadikim. Lo sikach shochar ki ashochar yaver eni pikchim. Both of those two elements are critical. And both of those two aspects are important when it comes to a shofet, when it comes to a shoter, when it comes to a dayan, when it comes to a rav. It's one thing to know the books. And I know plenty of people who could cite chapter and verse from a variety of places in Torah's Nigla and Nister, from Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh. But if you're not a pikeach, you're not going to know how to use that knowledge. I know plenty of people are pikchem, very brilliant and very smart and very sharp and very quick. But if you don't know the books, you don't know the halacha, you don't know how to paskin. And therefore the Torah articulates very clearly that both of these things are true. You need to be both a chacham and a pikeach. And it's for that reason the Torah details that there are these two critical characteristic traits. But there are another two critical characteristic traits when it comes to a shofet. If you take a look, continue. Perek Yud Zayin. Pasuk Yud Beis, the Torah tells us something else. V'ha'ish asher yaseh bizadon, somebody who does something in a violation, a transgression. Levilti shmo al ha'kohen ha'omid l'sharis, if somebody does something to transgress the words of the Kohen. O el ha'shofet, or the shofet. So if you look at the Pasuk very clearly, Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Yud Beis, the beginning of Parsha Shoftim, it seems that there are two people who one would go to if one transgressed a violation, a Torah rule. Either you would go to the Kohen Ha'omid L'Shareis Sham Es Hashem Elokecha, O El HaShofet. There was one of two options. There was either the Shofet, the Shoter, or you would go to the Kohen. And the Netziv, Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, in his Hamik Davar, makes this point, and he says, there's a reason that you have two options. And he says, the trei ofane horahema. There are two ways to paskin. There are two attributes. There are two characteristics. There are two approaches in psak halach. One, alide svara be'alma. Logical deduction. Genius. Very, very deep analysis. That's what we call svara. It was this, the Kohen, who had that ability. The Kohen had the ability to paskin halacha based upon svara. Vishenis, a second approach, alidei derech hachakira v'hachreach, through logical deduction, from looking in the psukim, from paskining based upon Mishnayos and Gemara, from understanding, from analysis, from debating, from looking at things from two different angles and reading the text very carefully. And that was the ability, and that was the approach, and that was the attitude of the shofet to the shoter. And therefore, says the Netziv, there are two qualities, two aspects. One that Moshe Rabbeinu had, and one that Aaron HaKohen had. The Netziv explains that the Kohen was the one who was very, very intelligent, very bright. It was Aaron HaKohen who paskin based upon svara, logical deduction. And that was the koach of the kahuna. As opposed to Moshe Rabbeinu who had paskin based upon drisha v'chakira, analysis, reading things carefully, understanding, debating, and deciphering, and reading the words very, very carefully. And the Netziv explains in multiple places, the beginning of Parshas Tetzavit, says this in Parshas Matzeh, he says this also in Perek Yud Zayin, Perek Yud, Pasuk Vav, the same exact thing. In the middle of Parshas Ekev, when the Torah tells us, the review, the repetition, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Aaron HaKohen and Moshe Rabbeinu to destroy the Luchos, and then the Luchos were given a second time. In the middle of that discussion, in Sefer Dvarim, Parshas Ekev, Perek Yud, Pasuk Vav, Bnei Yisrael travel me Be'eros Bnei Yakan Mosera, Shem Meis Aaron. Aaron dies in Mosera. And all of the Rishonim, starting with Rashi, ask the question, why does the Torah in the middle of the discussion of the Luchos tell us that Aaron died? Doesn't belong there. Rashi, the Ramban, the Eben Ezra, everybody struggles. Why does the Torah in Parshas Ekev, in the middle of the discussion of the Luchos Rishonos and Luchos Shneos, tell us about Aaron's death? Furthermore, why does Aaron die in a place called Mosera? So the Netziv again expresses this approach and says, Moshe Rabbeinu haya darko bavo lefanav maisa shlohaya mekubal mipi Hashem. When Moshe had to paskin a shayla that he didn't hear directly from God, How did he do it? Al pidera chakir of the pilpul. He looked at something, analyzed something, turned it up and down. Aaron was different. Hayakoch rav besvara, logic, thinking about something. Shehiderech ha'horah b'Yisrael. And therefore explains the Netziv, when the Torah tells us that Aaron died in Mosera, that means that with Aaron, the death of Aaron, lohiniach kamoso mechaven ha'horah l'sha lamita shal Torah b'lishum pilpul v'chakira. With Aaron's death came the death of halachic analysis called Svara. And at that point, Moshe came, and it was dafka through drisha v'chakira that Moshe Rabbeinu passed along from generation to generation how to paskin halacha. And it's for that reason that Aaron dies at a place called Mosera. Mosera comes from the word Moser, a Mesorah. And therefore, with Aaron's death, we lost the Mesorah of Svara, and we deal with Pilpul and Chakira. And therefore, every shofet and shoter needs to know and understand that there are two ways to paskin halach. And every rav has two approaches in terms of how to paskin. Some rabbanim use svara. Some rabbanim use drisha v'chakira. Some use the approach of the kahuna of Aaron of svara. Some use the approach of Moshe Rabbeinu of drisha v'chakira. Now, that's not to say they're mutually exclusive. Some have a stronger analysis ability and some have a stronger logic ability. But we need to know that there needs to be a mesorah in psak halacha. And a shofet and shoter, when they paskin, need to understand and need to appreciate that there must be one of these two approaches. And understanding of the books, and understanding how to apply that, a chacham and a pikeach, and furthermore to know if you're working with svara or with drisha v'chakir, and that's how psak halacha works. Every shofet, every dayan, every rav needs to know the Gemara, needs to know the Mishnayos, needs to know the two of the Beis Yosef and the Shulchan Aruch, needs to understand and to appreciate where the halacha is coming from, and when a shaila comes up, how to apply that knowledge to a practical question. Either it's through drisha v'chakira, it's through analysis and understanding how things have been developed and piske halacha have been approached throughout hundreds and thousands of years, and sometimes that's not going to be possible. And sometimes there is no precedent. And during those circumstances and situations, you need to apply svara, logical deduction, to understand how to paskin the halacha. So there you see the Netziv's approach in Shoftim, the Shofet and the Shoter, the Dayan and the Rav, through svara, the power, the koach of the kahuna of Aaron, or drisha and chakira, the approach of Moshe Rabbeinu. And again, bayamim ahem bizman hazeh, this is still applicable today. But there's a third thing, and a third critical element in the aspect of being a shofet. The Torah tells us in Perek Yud Zayin Pasuk Tes, Ubasel haKohanim haLeviim vel haShofet asher yieh bayamim ahem. You will come to the priests, to the Leviim, to the shofet, to the judge who will be in your days. V'dorashta v'higidu l'chaz dvar haMishpat, and he will paskin the shaila. If you read the pasuk carefully, there would seem to be two words which are extraneous, two words which are superfluous. Uvasel haKohen haLeviim vel haShofet. You should come to the Kohen, the Levi, or the Shofet. V'dorashta v'higidu l'chaz dvar haMishpat, then they will paskin the shaila. The Torah tells us two extra words. Asher yihyeh. That will be. What do you mean? Uvasel haKohen haLeviim vel haShofet bayamim mehem. What is the Torah adding these two words? Asher yihyeh. Who will be? So it's quoted in the name of, they say, B'Shem Rav Henkin, that the pshat in this pasuk is as follows. As we said before, a shofet has to know the halacha, he has to be a chacham, and he has to be a pikeach. But he also has to have something else. Asher yihyeh. He's got to be with a people. He's got to be with the generation. He has to understand who he's dealing with, who his constituents are, who his congregation is, who his toveya and nitva are, who the litigants are. He has to understand what I'm dealing with. I'm not living in 1850. I'm not living in 1950. We're living in Tavshin Pei Aleph, Tavshin Pei Beis. We need to know who the person asking the question is. Asher yihyeh. The shofet rav has to be with the people, has to understand the people, has to understand their struggles, has to understand their difficulties, has to understand what's happening in this generation. And therefore, somebody who's paskining, not based upon what's happening and where we are, the circumstances, the situations, the surrounding aspects of what's taking place, isn't a shofet, isn't a dayan, isn't a rav for his generation. And therefore the pasuk says, Uvasala Kohanim Elavim El Shofet Asher Yihyeh. He's got to be here. He's got to be with you. That's why very famously, when the Chazal, Shas, used the concept teku, teku is when the Gemara says there is no solution to the problem. It's a stalemate. We don't know how to paskin. That's what the word teku means. But teku has been used to mean tishbi, yavo, v'yitaretz kushios ba'abayos. Tishbi, that's Eliyahu HaNavi, he will come and resolve all the difficulties. Tishbi, why Eliyahu HaNavi? Why not Moshe Rabbeinu? Why not Aaron HaKohen? Moshe with his koach of drisha v'chakira, Aaron with his koach of svara. What's unique about Eliyahu? Why Eliyahu? Why is he going to be the one? So they say that the pshat is because Eliyahu is still alive. Eliyahu lives in every generation. He understands the people. So therefore, when the tshuva has to be paskind, he knows and he understands. Moshe Rabbeinu is no longer. Aaron HaKohen is no longer. You need a rav, you need a shofet, you need a dayan who understands the people. You can't paskin based upon what was. And this is the koach that many, many great shoftim and dayanim have, that they understand the nature of business. They understand the nature of white collar business and blue collar business. The greatest shoftim, when you're paskinim dinei Torah, they understand how plumbing and electricity works. Because without it, then you can't paskin a shaila. If there's a debate, if there's a misunderstanding between an agent and a buyer, you gotta know real estate. You have to know how to work out issues and deals. So therefore, you have to be Asher Yihyeh. And therefore, the Torah tells us that this shofet, the shoter, needs to be with the people. Asher Yihyeh, therefore, that's the third category, the third quality that the shofet must have. So therefore, along with being a pikeach and a chacham, along with using either svara or drish and chakira, the shofet also has to be Asher Yihyeh. So now we understand the job and the responsibility of the shofet and the shoter. But what's the job of the Am? What's the job of the nation? What's the job of the Shoah? So let's begin with the same Pasuk, and also a seemingly superfluous word. The Torah tells us you're going to come to the Kohanim Levim LaShovet Asher Yihyeh Bayamim Ahem, and asks Rashi, what do you mean Bayamim Ahem, in those days? Of course you're going to come to the Shofet who's in your days. What does that mean, Bayamim Ahem? And Rashi famously comments and explains what is Bayamim Ahem mean. Bayamim Ahem means Afilu Einu Kishar Shoftim Shayilafanav. Even though it's not the same quality of Shofit who was an earlier generation. Atatzarech Lishmolo Einocha Ela Shofit Shbiyamecha. All you have is the Shofit who's in your day. Maybe you'll say, oh, if we only had Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen. If we only had Rabbi Kiva Evin Chasam Sofer and the Noda Bihuda. If we only had Moshe Feinstein and Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, everything would be different. Rabbi Chaim Oz and the Chafetz Chaim. Then we'd be able to listen. The Torah tells us, no, you got it all wrong. Yiftach Hidoro Kemoshe Bedoro. Whoever the Shofet of your generation is, that's the Shofet. That's the Dayan. Bayamim Ahem stresses the Torah, as Rashi explains, means that you need to go to the Shofet who's in your day. If the expectation is upon the Shofet and the Dayan to understand the people, the nation, based upon the time that the people are living in, it's the responsibility of the nation to appreciate the Rav and the Shofet and the Dayan that they have been given. Because obviously Rav Moshe Feinstein is not for our generation. And Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky is not for our generation. And therefore every Shofet and Dayan who's been given to every single Tkufa, that's the Shofet who belongs in that generation. They understand the beat of the people. They understand the nature and the makeup, the quality, the struggles, the stress, the difficulties that are taking place, the ups and the downs, the highs and the lows, the familial relationships, the struggles that people have are very different contemporarily than they were in the last generation, two generations ago. So the Rav and the Dayan needs to understand the people who he is dealing with. And the people need to appreciate at the same time that this is the Shofet and this is the Dayan for them, Bayamim Hahem. And then the Torah continues. Another very important point that the nation needs to have when they're dealing with a shofet. The Torah tells us in Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Al Pi HaTorah Shayirucha, Based upon the piske halacha of the bezdin hagold of the shoftim, that's what you need to listen to. Lo sosur min hadavar sheyagidu lecha yamin esmol. You can't change an iota. You can't turn to the right. You can't turn to the left. You can't about face. Even if you don't understand something, even if there may even be a mistake, lo sosur alav di araisa, a negative commandment, you're required absolutely, positively to listen and to hearken to the words of the Chachamim, lo sasim and adavar shagidol chayam nesmol. This is a lav diraisa, a negative commandment, a biblical that is paskin and all the monia mitzvos counted as a mitzvah saseh, as a lav. Mitzvah tuf tzarivav. What's the pshat? What is the meaning, lo sasar? So the Sefer Achina tells us something very, very important. Mishroshe ha mitzvah. What's the reason for this mitzvah? Why do I have to listen to the rabbis? Why can't I diverge? Why can't I come up with my own idea? Why do I have to listen? That people think very differently. People have different attitudes and different approaches. It's impossible, almost impossible for two people to think alike. V'yodeh Adon HaKol Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows. Shilu tia kavanas k'suveh ha-Torah misur b'yar kol echad ve'echad b'mnei Adam, ish k'visichlo. If the Torah is up to everybody to decipher, if the Torah is up to everybody to explain as they understand, yifrosh kol echad mem divrei Torah k'visvarah, so everybody's going to come up with their own way to understand what the pasuk means. There's going to be great debate. Therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, it's up to Chachmei HaTorah. It's up to the Shoftim and the Shochim, the Kohanim and the Levim, and Shekneses Agdola, the Tanoim and Amoraim. They have the Koach, the Mesorah, Moshe, Kibbol Torah, Messina, Mesorah, Yeshua. And they have the power, the authority to basket and to understand, to extrapolate, and to understand how things are to work. And then the Sefer Achinuch says, ubechol dor vador. The same thing is true in every generation. Gam kein shenishma lachachamim hanimtzam shekiblu divreihem v'shasu mayim misifreihem. The same thing is true in every generation. Every single person needs to appreciate the fact that the Rabbanim of that generation accepted and understood the Torah from previous generation. And therefore, that's why a rabbi has to have a mesorah. He has to have a basis from where he's paskening his shilas. Shekiblu divrei v'shasum mayim misifreihem v'yagiyu kami yagiyus b'yamu b'leilos. L'havin omik mileihem u'plios deoseihem. Says the Sefer Achinuch, this is also incumbent upon the nation to understand. There are certain responsibilities that the shofet and the shoter has. The shofet and the shoter, he has to be a chacham, he has to be a pikeach. He has to pass based upon svar, based upon Jewish and chakira. He has to live with the people. But the people, the nation, who are appointing the judges also have to accept upon themselves that they have to believe that their shoftim are appropriate for them, number one. And number two, they have to make sure to listen. Lo sasim in adavar she'agidu lecha yamin u'smol. I'll share with you a mashal. I said it yesterday, but I think it really, really speaks to this point. Rav Huttner, Zichron al-Racha, the Rosh Hashiva in Chaim Berlin, was asked to speak at a 10-year anniversary banquet for a student of his who was a rabbi in a congregation, and they were honoring him for his 10th-year anniversary. And unfortunately, Rav Huttner couldn't come to the banquet, couldn't come to the event, and therefore he sent in a letter that he asked to be read. And Rav Huttner explained the relationship between the rabbi and the congregation, and the responsibility that the rabbi has based upon the following, and this is exactly what the Sefer Achinuch means, I believe. In many, many cities throughout Europe, it was very, very common to have a very large clock that was placed at the highest point in the city. If you travel Europe today, we spoke about Prague. Prague has a big, beautiful clock, as do many large cities, and even smaller cities throughout Europe. And it was the clock that was used to announce, to know, and to be the absolute end-all and be-all of the time. There was a particular city, explained Rav Huttner, that began to complain, the citizens started to complain that the clock was very, very high. They'd have to stretch their neck, they'd have to look up to the right, to the left, and they were unable to really see the time very clearly. And there was such frustration and angst upon the members of the city that they brought it to the city council that they wanted to move the clock back down to basic view, that everybody will be able to see it straight. You wouldn't have to stretch. You wouldn't have to turn your neck up and down, high and low. And ultimately, the city council decided that there are enough people who would be satisfied with the removal of the clock from the tallest place in the city to bring it down to high view. V'haya hayom, and it so happened that that's what happened. Before they knew it, day after day, week after week, everybody was walking with their watch. And before they knew it, different townspeople started saying, hey, my watch says 9:42, and the clock in the city says 9:45. The clock in the city must be wrong. And they started tinkering with the clock. And every single person in the city, before they knew it, also had their own watch. And they also, before they knew it, said, hey, the clock of the city is wrong. And day after day, week after week, month after month, everybody started playing with the city clock because it didn't match their own personal watch. Until the city leaders understood that we need to move the clock back up. Because opposed to everybody turning the city clock based upon their watch, the clock needed to be the clock of all clocks, and everybody would change and switch their watch based upon the city clock. And it's that reason that the clock is so high up and is so tall, and therefore everybody has to turn their clock to the clock of the city, as opposed to the clock of the city being turned based upon each and every individual's watch. That, explained Rav Huttner, is the responsibility of the rabbi, that to lead, to direct. And if there are too many people with too many opinions and everybody wants the clock to be turned and the watch to be turned their way, it's not going to work. And that's exactly what the Sefer HaChinuch says is the pshat in the mitzvah of Lo Sasur. Because if the Torah is Mesura B'yad Kol Echad V'Echad B'nei Adam Ish Ish Kvi Sichlo Yifrosh Kol Echad Ben Divrei Torah Kvi Saras Av Yarbe Machlokes B'Israel, everybody's going to switch and change the clock and the watch based upon the way that they understand the psukim. But the Torah and Halacha Mitzvahs can't work that way. Therefore, you need a tall clock. You need a walk clock at the top of the tower. And so too, we need the Rabbanim, we need the Shoftim, we need the Dayanim, we need Batei Din in order to establish, to adjudicate, to pasken, to understand based upon the Mesoras. So this, I believe, Parsha Shoftim, the mitzvah of Minoy Shoftim, expresses and articulates very clearly the relationship between the Shoftim and the Shotrim and the Am, the relationship between the people and the authority figures, the officers and the judges, with their responsibilities, and the relationship and the responsibility of the people to the Shoftim. It's true that the Shoftim are appointed by the people, but at the same time, the people need to understand who they are appointing and establish those shoftim that they are appointing for their generation. Asher yihyeh, they have to be the people by yamim ahem. And it's critically important, I think, if you look at Parsha Shoftim and you appreciate the relationship between the shoftim and the Am, at the same time to appreciate by yamim ahem as man is for generations and generations, how the relationship is supposed to work between the people and the quote unquote those who are paskening shilas, the authority figures, the poskim, the rabbanim, the dayanim, the shoftim. They have certain responsibilities, the people. They need to be pikrim, they need to be chacham. They need to be bali svara, they need to understand how to be dorish and choker. They have to live with the people asher yiyah. And the people need to understand that the shoftim and the shochim, the rabbanim and the dayanim there, bayam amahem. And there's also a lav of losasar to be make sure to follow, to listen, and to properly follow through on the psakim, the halachas that are being expressed, that are being adjudicated, that are being paskim. So this is Parsha Shoftim. This is the mitzvah of Minoy Shoftim. This is the responsibility, the rules and regulations, what we're looking for in a shofet and shoter, what a shoft, the qualities, the characteristic traits of a shofet and a shoter, and furthermore, how we are supposed to, the nation, listen, to understand, and to appreciate the shoftim and shotrim as well. Be'ezras Hashem, we should be zochet to the time Shibana Beis HaMikdash, we should be back in Eretz Yisrael, and fulfill the mitzvah of Minoy Shoftim to have clear piske halacha. Be'ezras Hashem, wishing everybody a terrific, terrific week.